We've been looking at Obadiah. It is, as I mentioned, the shortest book in the Old Testament. In whatever language you read it in, it's the shortest book in the Old Testament. And today I'm going to be reading verses 17 through the end, which is verse 21. I'm not going to tell you what chapter. You can figure that out for yourself. So once again, beginning of verse 17 in Obadiah. Hear God's word. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau will be stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau. The people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. The company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. And this is God's word. And it is scary stuff. You're right. Well, as I mentioned, we've spent the last couple Sundays looking at the shortest book in the Old Testament, Obadiah. So far in what we've looked at, he's been enumerating the Edomites. Those are the people of Edom. And those were Esau's descendants. He's been enumerating the Edomites' many sins. Their arrogance. The refusal to help even their own family, the Israelites, when they were being invaded. Even going so far as to go and finish off robbing those same relatives and intercepting some others to rob them more and more and turn them over to the enemies. Arrogance, betrayal, theft, murder. Sounds like a soap opera plot. Or maybe Washington. There's a story about Pharaoh's barge. I don't know if you've heard this, but it's extra biblical. It's not in scripture. You won't find it there. But it's a story about Pharaoh's barge. You know, a barge. It's a boat that the Pharaoh would go out, take his family for a cruise on an afternoon, some fine afternoon, and they didn't have motors. The motors were guys with oars, so they're oarmen. They're, you know, these guys, and they'd row, and they were told what to do. If you've seen Ben-Hur, you get the idea, right? You've seen Ben-Hur, right? In the door. So at any rate, the Pharaoh's barge had the captain of the barge, and he told the oarsmen, I have good news, and I have bad news. Which do you want first? Can you believe people did that way back then? They did. I'm telling you, it's true. So the crew consulted among themselves, and they said, we want the good news first. He said, okay, great. Pharaoh is doubling your rations. They said, oh, that's great. We get twice as much food. Because these guys are very physical, you know, they're active. They needed the extra food. And they said, one of them said, oh, wait. What's the bad news? He said, well, Pharaoh wants to try water skiing. It's terrible, I know. Well, here we are with the Edomites. Their geographic security, their wisdom, their wealth, those were all good news to them. Obadiah then continues with the bad news. Judgment is coming. And you deserve it. Before a person is locked up in prison or fined, they're told what they've done, you know, what they've done wrong. And so here's what God has done. He's told them what they've done wrong. Now he's telling them their sentence. God is telling these Edomites that they are going to be invaded. They will be crushed. They will be overthrown. Their friends will turn on them, as incidentally they did to their own family, the Israelites. They will cease to be a nation. They will come to nothing. They will be of no consequence whatsoever. And in one of the great insults to a person in that place and time, you will give your children nothing. the God of the Bible is a God of love. Make no mistake about it. But he is also a God of justice. Many today say that God is love and forgiving, and they don't want to hear about that other part, that God of righteousness, that God of justice and holiness, purity. Well, because it's kind of inconvenient. Now, of course, God is a God of love. But we must never give people the impression that God is a God of only love. God has many facets, more than I could ever discuss, more than you could comprehend anyhow. God has many different qualities and strengths and just who he is and what he does. So to simplify it by saying God is just the one thing, Scripture does say God is love. It also says he's many other things. When we conjure up an image of God as only a God of love, we're not worshiping the true God. We're, in essence, making an idol of our own formation. You're stripping away a portion of God's attributes, in fact, a great number of them. As soon as you say that he is love and nothing else, he is full of love. He is full of kindness and goodness. He's full of affection and mercy. He's full of compassion. He's full of creative love. But he's also a God of righteousness, of justice, and of holiness. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't be worth worshiping, would he? No. And because he is this kind of God, he has no choice but to send judgment on wickedness. In this case, the Edomites. People need to know that nobody is going to come to Christ for salvation until they realize that God is also a God of righteousness. If people don't fear God, if people don't respect God, if people think that God is just a convenience, then they see no need of Christ, do they? I don't have to tell you this. You have only to turn on your television or pretty much anything else. If God is a God of love and nothing else, we don't need a Savior, do we? And that's what many people actually say. I've been in churches where people say that. God is a God of love. And pretty much everybody goes there. In which case, I told the pastor I wanted my $20 back. I didn't really. Verse 16 says, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. All nations. Interesting. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head, just as you drank on my holy hill. So all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink as if they had never been. That sounds odd to our ear. The day of the Lord, though, is a common term in biblical prophetic literature. It refers, generally speaking, to any time that God intervenes in human affairs to accomplish something, to accomplish his will. Many times dealing with wickedness and bringing judgment. Obadiah is promising such a day. The drinking mentioned in verse 16 refers to the drinking of God's wrath, actually, or divinely appointed suffering, if you will. Not necessarily the same thing. God's wrath is something that most people don't talk about. I'm hitting a lot of sore spots today, aren't I? But God's wrath is a logical divine response to human sin and disobedience. Wrath isn't just he's miffed. It's not just having a hissy fit. It's not the human concept of wrath, by any means. Don't cheapen God. It's a logical response to sin and disobedience. Because sin and disobedience, in a very real way, is hating God, isn't it? Contrary to people, there are people too who say that the Old Testament is, you know, all about the God of wrath. And then the New Testament is the God of love. Well, God's love is in the Old Testament. It's throughout the Old Testament. What do you think the promise of Abraham is, if not God's love? God promises that through Abraham, the world, all people, will be blessed. He's not just talking about a box of cookies. He's talking about eternity. The New Testament also supports the concept of God as a God who has to deal out consequences and judges sin. Do you think that makes him happy? I can't think it does. And there's the story of the rich man and Lazarus that speaks of judgment of God and serious consequences for the unrepentant sinner. And if we stop and think about it, who wants to be in a heaven full of unrepentant sinners? We've got a world like that. It's not heaven. So this last section of the book, these verses that I read today, 17 through 21, deal with the kingdom of God too. Now this was going to go way past the judgment on Edom, and it will last until the end of time. It's kind of, we're back to the bad news, good news. Sometimes the good news, bad news isn't exactly the way you want it to turn out. Did you know the good news was I won a cooking contest. Did you know that? Bad news was the prize was a lifetime supply of tofu. I'm going to pick up both the packages tomorrow. Work with that. It's okay. The bad news here is Obadiah's message wasn't just for Edom. It also has an application to everybody. I said that last week, and it's true. There are people that, when they see someone is down, they'll have no mercy on them. We've seen that in the news a great deal lately. Certainly since October. Or in October. Because humanity has a pride problem. We shake our fist at God because we know best. Because we don't want to be told what to do. You're not the boss of me. We too have a sin problem to rebel against God. To be selfish, to act in a way that hurts others and not care, because I won. We too deserve judgment. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, everybody knows this, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news. Verse 21 here in Obadiah talks about deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Deliverers here are the Israelites. They'll come back to reign over Edom and bring salvation through Christ eventually. We Christians recognize the promise of Jesus here. Human arrogance and selfishness always thinks that it's unassailable. We looked at that the first week. We looked at Edom, the Edomites. It's unassailable. It's indestructible, isn't it? No one, though, no nation, really, is beyond the reach of God's judgment. It may not come in the time that we would like it to, but if the more you know of history, the more you realize how true that is. The judgment of God is a fearsome and terrifying thing for those who don't love Him and don't care about it. The judgment of God is really about justice, though, isn't it? And when we all get down to it, we all want justice, at least for somebody else. Wonderfully, though, God offers grace to those who love Him. God offers grace to those who love Him in Jesus Christ, who have faith in Jesus Christ. You know this story. You know this truth. But it's real. It's life-changing. It's forever. Those who've been covered by the blood of Christ, which was shed for us on the cross, can be assured that God's wrath will never fall on them. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Good news? No sinner is beyond salvation. The Gospel of John tells us, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus later said of Himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. And I think Obadiah saw something of the glory in which, after Jesus Christ would come into the world, he saw, I think, at least, he was given a glimmer of what John saw and wrote about, of this great gospel of Jesus Christ that was in his time among the Jews, and that it would be spread abroad throughout all the world. All the ends of the earth would see salvation in Christ Jesus at some point in God's time. That is the good news. There is no bad news for those in Christ. Isn't that good news? So let's remember this. Now we get to celebrate that good news together with our communion. Let's join me. Amen. Pray with me just a moment, and then we'll do the Apostles' Creed. Would you join me, please? Lord God, I thank you that you give us your word. I thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit, that we can come to know you better and know your direction. I thank you, Father, that you give us this time together to worship you. I pray that the preaching would be useful to your purposes, and that you would be with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.